are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, February 25th, and Mason, give up to him two times.
Detroit basketball! Detroit basketball!
That's right, we got our own Mason cut now, so all is right in the world in the post-All-Star break universe. But this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for spreading the word. Appreciate you guys out there. On today's show, we're going to talk about a couple of wins over the weekend, pass along the details. I have some thoughts on Friday and Saturday night. And then before looking ahead to tonight against Indiana, we'll talk about Luke Kennard, maybe the most confounding Piston. We saw both sides of him over the weekend, in my opinion. And maybe we'll hit the Reddit mailbag if we've got time later on. But give me a follow, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, on Twitter, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Mason, the soundbite from our interview last week that you should check out in the archives wherever you find the Locked On Pistons podcast. But on Friday night, the Pistons topped Atlanta 125-122. Thon Maker, a three-pointer with 16 seconds left to give his new team the victory. Reggie Jackson retrieves the game ball at the buzzer, rolls it to Quavo of Migos, and the Pistons get the win. Bruce Brown was talking junk to the rapper all night as well. Good times for the Pistons, especially Reggie Jackson, who had 32 points and 8 assists as well. He was outstanding. Reggie's strong play continues through the All-Star break, an encouraging sign for Pistons fans who want to believe about the rest of this season and also maybe going into next season or possibly trade possibilities this summer for Jackson. Andre Drummond finishes with 26 points and 21 rebounds, his 10th 2020 game of the season, second in a season all-time for a Piston, passing Bailey Howell in 60-61. Everyone remembers that Bailey Howell season, of course. But Drummond is now only second to Bob Lanier's 17 2020s that he had in 1972-73. And those 10 2020s that Drummond has this season are the most in the NBA since Kevin Love had 11 in 2010-2011. So we know the Pistons are a whole different team when those guys are both going. And those two guys helped overcome the bizarre ejection of Blake Griffin in late third quarter. Lots of talking going on out there in this game, including mostly, I'd say, by Vince Carter. But only two technical fouls were handed out by the refs in this one. They felt the need to call the two on Blake Griffin and sends the best player on the court to the locker room. A disgrace, a damn disgrace. And I hope you guys know that I'm consistent with not ripping on the refs. I really don't like to go there. I just feel like it's a kind of a miserable way to watch sports, is always talking about the referees. But I mean that in pretty much every both ways, you know, whether calls are benefiting the Pistons or hurting the Pistons. But when you toss a guy out of the game like that, when you choose to give a guy a technical foul, you can choose not to do it as well. And when you fire up a second tee for taunting the bench, you know exactly what you're doing. And like I said, a damn disgrace there by the refs knocking Blake Griffin out of that game. But luckily for the Pistons, 15 points for Blake Griffin before he's tossed, 10 points for Ish Smith. The Pistons win despite Atlanta shooting 20 of 42 from three-point land, 47.6% on their home floor, 30 points and 10 assists from the rookie Trae Young, and a strong game for him, 19 points for an exciting second-year player in John Collins. But you know what? With wins on the road, ugly doesn't matter. Not covering the spread doesn't matter. Point differential doesn't matter. On the road, none of that stuff matters. Pistons get the win. Speaking of which, the next night in Miami put the smackdown on the Miami Heat, 119-96. Just the second 20-plus point margin victory of the season for the Pistons and the sixth win in seven games. Pistons are now 4-4 on the second half of back-to-backs this season, which is strong, especially for about a 500 team, and 7-7 in the red-letter games that I talk about as ad nauseum, red-letter games being against the other Eastern Conference teams contending for those final three spots in the Eastern Conference playoffs. We've said all along that those are the games that are going to get you in or out of the playoffs. And to finish above 500 on those two stats, the second half of back-to-backs in the red letter games. If they can do that, even if it's barely over 500, they will definitely be in the playoffs. Saturday night, it was the bench mob. Langston Galloway, every three-pointer directly into my eye for saying that they should sit him down throughout most of the last couple weeks. Langston finishes with 17 points on 4 of 5 shooting from three-point land. Luke Kennard, speaking of guys that throwing it right in my eye right now, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 of 5 from three-point land, and 22 points and 9 assists from Ish Smith, a season high in points and a season high in assists from the veteran point guard. I told you leading up to the trade deadline that I thought that they would keep him, and I also think that it was the smart move. You probably could get maybe a late second-round pick, just one single one for Ish Smith, but whatever you would have gotten was not enough if you're the Pistons and you're still, as an organization, trying to make the playoffs this season, which is something that they're obviously trying to do despite the fact that they unloaded a couple of wings there at the trade deadline, especially the Reggie Bullock trade, which certainly hurts the team this season going forward. But 20 points from Blake Griffin for good measure on Saturday night, overcame the 22 from Josh Richardson, and 15 for Dwayne Wade, who looks really good, actually. And hats off to Dwayne Wade for putting in some good work there in his final season in the NBA. I will not give the same props to Vince Carter's prickly self as he finishes off his career, hopefully. That guy is not in the Hall of Fame in my book, by the way, despite the fact that his career numbers are no doubt very big at this point for a guy in year 21, I believe. But broke apart the best teams he was on, never got the ring, and I know it's not all about the rings, and I'm not one of those guys, but feel like he contributed poorly to his teams and when they were in position to possibly go over the hump. And kudos for the Pistons for slowing down some of his New Jersey Nets teams back in the day. Not a big Vince Carter guy here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Pistons are now 28-30 on the season, alone in seventh place in the Eastern Conference, a game and a half behind the Brooklyn Nets, who reside in sixth, and a half game ahead of the Charlotte Hornets, who are holding it down in eighth right now. Pistons are 1.5 games ahead of Orlando to stay inside of the playoffs. The Magic are ninth, and the Pistons now 2 full games ahead of the Miami Heat, 10th place in the Eastern Conference. By the way, 538.com, so the Pistons now have an 83% chance of making the playoffs. And by the way, while I was on that site, they also say the Pistons have a 64% chance of winning tonight at home against the Indiana Pacers, the banged-up Indiana Pacers. We'll get into that a little bit later. But this week, after Indiana at home tonight, the Pistons are at San Antonio on Wednesday to wrap up the season series with the Spurs. And then a weekend back-to-back in Cleveland on Sunday late afternoon, and then home for the Toronto Raptors on Sunday at 6 o'clock at Little Caesars Arena. 4 big ones, and obviously at this point in the season, they're all big ones. I would take 2-2 with a win against Cleveland and then getting one of the other three, but obviously you're hopeful that it could turn into a 3-out-of-4 week. And who knows? Pistons playing pretty well right now, but this is some stiff competition. Although, like I said, Indiana might be a little susceptible tonight, although San Antonio always tough on the road. And Toronto's going to come in here looking for revenge from that game earlier in the season as well. But up next, we're going to talk about Luke Kennard, both sides of what we saw over the weekend from the Pistons' young, talented, nothing near a star, but young, talented player in his second year. But when you get in your car, by the way, go ahead and tell your smart device in your ride to play podcast Locked On Pistons, get you the newest episode while you're on the commute to wherever you are going to go. And we also have an important favor to ask you. We would like your help. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to compete, and by participating, you enter in the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit LockedOnPodcast.com/survey to participate. That's LockedOnPodcast.com/survey, and we appreciate your feedback.
Yes!
A little bit later on, we're going to look ahead to tonight's game against the Indiana Pacers. Pistons back home for one before hitting the road for two more this week. But a couple weeks ago, in my kind of uncharacteristic rant that I had on the Pistons after blowing the big lead that they had against the Clippers on that Saturday night, that rant kind of centered mostly on Andre Drummond, but also took Luke Kennard to task a little bit. I talked about his inconsistency, his unwillingness to step up and make plays, and even threw the B word, the bust word around for him a little bit. Well, this weekend, I really think we saw kind of both sides of the Luke Kennard story, right? On Friday night in Atlanta, he got into a nice little start for the first quarter and a half against the Hawks, scored 7 points pretty early in the game. But then I don't know if you saw this play, but he got lectured by Vince Carter as Luke was playing defense on him in the second quarter. Carter was trying to back him down in the post, and Luke kind of delivered a little forearm, or maybe it was an elbow, in the back of Vince and kind of sent him sprawling a little bit. And after the play, Vince gets right into Luke Kennard's face, and the cameras caught him saying, "Watch your elbows," to Luke Kennard. And Luke looked like he was a kid being told no by the teacher. And like I said, the rest of the game, he doesn't score at all. It kind of felt like he fell into his shell a little bit, some of those things that we see often. By the way, Vince did that a little bit later, lecturing Reggie Jackson on a play too, where there was like a pick set. And in the middle of the play, Vince just like stops, turns around, and gets in the guy's face. But then again, yet again, Blake Griffin was the one guy who got two techs in this game. But anyway, the fourth quarter of the game Friday night, when the Pistons needed Luke Kennard with Blake Griffin out with the ejection, Kennard came right in right before Blake was tossed, actually. And in the final 5 minutes of the third quarter, most of those time coming with Blake already ejected, Luke attempted just one shot. He was 0-for-1 in the final 5 minutes of the third and didn't come in the fourth quarter. He was pulled for the beginning of the fourth, didn't come in except for a 33-second stretch in the final 2 minutes when the Pistons needed a basket. Now, of course, some of this is on Dwayne Casey, the head coach. We know that, and that doesn't even necessarily isn't a criticism of him, because obviously Dwayne Casey's trying to build a mindset, particularly with Luke Kennard. We've seen the run-ins between these two this season, and obviously there's something there. It's not like it's something we're imagining with our own two eyes. But we would like to see Dwayne Casey, or I would like to see Dwayne Casey, give Luke Kennard a little bit more leash, a little bit more leeway with making some mistakes. But Luke's got to be more aggressive, particularly offensively, and we'll get into the defense a little bit later. But when Blake goes out, he played those 5 minutes, puts up one shot. I mean, this is your time, Luke. This is your time to help out Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, become that third guard, that third guy that you can rely on for scoring on a consistent basis. But however, Saturday night, Luke went ahead and answered the bell in Miami in what we were calling, and what we call right for now, the biggest and most important game of the season for the Pistons, until that next most important game comes pretty soon. But it was just kind of funny, because I was sitting with listener Sean watching the game, one of my best friends, and we were talking about how disappointing Luke Kennard's career has been. And for all the grief that Andre and Reggie get in this town for the doldrums of this franchise and the problems with the team this year, and I'm just on the top of the list of people who talk about those guys sometimes in a negative light, especially when they were struggling, Reggie for most of this season and Andre at times this season, maybe the one guy, for all the problems that those two guys have created over these past few years, maybe the one guy who this disappointing season is having the most impact, their own individual disappointing season is having the most impact on the Pistons as a whole, that probably is Luke Kennard. To say that he's averaging just one more point a game this season than his pretty disappointing rookie season, his three-point shooting is down from what was a very good rookie year of 41.5% to now a more pedestrian 37.5%. And all that said about Luke Kennard, and we know about the defensive inconsistencies, I feel like he's taking a step back in that way. He really turned it on Saturday night, and credit to him. One of his best games of the season, 17 points off the bench, 6 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 5 rebounds, which is something you don't usually see with Luke, and 3 steals, which is something you definitely don't really see out of Luke. That's right, defensively, he was very good. And he talked about that aggressiveness, had big steals on Dwayne Wade as the Pistons pushed the lead in the third quarter, had a couple of them there, and finished those two plays with fast breaks layups as well. Luke told Vince Ellis of the Free Press after the game that he was trying to be more physical defensively after the coaches told him to do that. And Casey talked after the game how Luke Kennard was a high school quarterback and how his dad played college basketball at Georgetown in Kentucky. So obviously there's some toughness there in the lineage, according to Coach Casey. And Luke, to his credit, really showed that on Saturday night. Now, if the rest of the season is going to be me apologizing to different players on the Pistons for playing well when I dog them a little bit, we can go Langston Galloway every night, Luke Kennard every now and then, Andre giving maximum effort, Reggie Jackson showing that burst and attitude, you know, that he you know, wants to be there and shows that he cares, I would have no problem with that. I will have no problem eating crow, getting on this microphone every other night and talking about how this guy proved me wrong this night, this guy proved me wrong this night, and the winning continues in Detroit Pistons land. But we'll see if that continues, especially with Luke, because it's kind of always been his issue, the consistency, the willingness to dig deep on a night-to-night basis and be the man. I mean, he's got to be the fourth best player on this team. He's clearly up that way in terms of talent. I think he is the fourth most talented player on this team, and we'll see if that's something that continues. And by the way, again, to his credit a little bit here, I guess, something else I wanted to say as I looked at the draft class of the second-year group, a bit of a sophomore slump, maybe even not just a bit, but a real sophomore slump by almost his entire 2017 draft class, which is still a very good one, all things considered. But let's just go down the list here and ask yourself this. Name one guy who has been become a lot better in year two than in year one with this group. We'll go all the way down to Kennard at 12, and we can throw in Devin Mitchell at number 13 in that group as well, too. There are more guys that are worse in their second seasons, and some like Kennard who are pretty similar. But as far as guys who made the leap, see if anyone stands out to you as I read off this list here. You got number one, Markelle Fultz from Philly. End of discussion there. Number two, Lonzo Ball. Number three, Jason Tatum. Number four, Josh Jackson. Five is De'Aaron Fox. Six is Jonathan Isaac. Seven is Lauri Markkanen. Eight is Frank Ntilikina. Nine is Dennis Smith Jr. 10 is Zach Collins. 11 is Malik Monk. And then 12, you got Kennard. 13, you got Donovan Mitchell. For my money, De'Aaron Fox is like the only guy who's making a leap to get better in year two. Now, some of these guys were very good. The bar was very high for Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum in their rookie season. So it's not like these guys are huge disappointments in year two or anything like that. But guys are either leveling off or really going through a sophomore slip. Not to write off any of these guys in their careers, and we certainly expect Luke Kennard to go forward pretty well, but that sophomore slump is real with this group, and we've seen it from Luke Kennard throughout much of the season, but some glimmers of hope lately, especially when Andre Drummond was out with the concussion, a couple of really good games, coincidentally against Miami the first time at home, and then the Sacramento game, the loss, the heartbreak to the Buddy Hield shot, but other than that, Luke Kennard has kind of pulled the no-show again lately up until Saturday night. And like I said, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on him tonight against the Pacers and see what happens there. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. If you're interested, go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more. Now, next, we're going to look ahead to tonight's home game against the Indiana Pacers. And that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Pistons back at home tonight against the Indiana Pacers, 7 o'clock at Little Caesars Arena. Indiana comes in at 40-20, but have won 8 out of their last 9 games, just killing it, even without Victor Oladipo. I'm kind of expecting a competitive game tonight. Pistons got something to prove, trying to validate the success they've been having lately, especially against a team that smacked them around in their first meeting this season. The Pacers were in Washington on Saturday night, so really no imbalance either way with rest issues with the teams. But there is some injury issues for the Pacers. Not only is Oladipo their best player out, but Miles Turner is questionable, and also Tyreke Evans. So their second best player in Turner and another one of their top players off the bench in Evans. Those guys are both questionable. Evans left Saturday's game early for the Pacers, and Turner has missed the last couple games. The Pistons, because of those injuries, are 2.5-point favorites at home. So, you know, for all the talk and circumstances like betting lines and TV coverage being disrespectful towards the Pistons, the Pacers, I think, kind of get even worse. And even on this podcast, I've laid the disrespect on pretty thick on this franchise, even though they've kind of responded each time to the injuries and the slights they've had. So with those guys out of the lineup, you're going to have a lot of different guys stepping up for the Pacers in their stead, getting some of those minutes, getting some of those touches. You got experienced guys such as, or I should say guys used to the spotlight in Thad Young. You got Bogdanovich, but then you got guys like Darren Collison trying to fill the Oladipo void. Wesley Matthews is a buyout guy that just joined the team. And now you got some more experience with, you know, guys like Doug McDermott and Corey Joseph off the bench, but you're going to be leaning on like TJ Leafs of the world if Miles Turner is out. Maybe Aaron Holiday, the rookie, gets some minutes there too. But Sabonis is kind of the key, probably the guy to watch out for. You can't let him go off. And then Thad Young, part of a nice little front court that they have, even without Miles Turner in action. So Nate McMillan certainly has some options for the Pacers tonight at Little Caesars Arena. But hey, let's go to the Reddit mailbag. I started a discussion on the Pistons subreddit. Check it out. Got some great responses from you guys and wanted to go one for one on these every day for the next week or so. And we're going to user a Spartan Leopard, who I'm assuming that's a little bit of an MSU connection there. So a nice day for basketball fan of Spartan Leopard on Sunday for sure, as Cassius Winston, these Michigan State Spartans, go down to Ann Arbor despite not having Josh Langford and Nick Ward and get the big win against the number 7 ranked Wolverines. Looking forward to the rematch already and seeing if these teams maybe meet again in the Big Ten tournament and possibly in the NCAA tournament. That would be the dream, right? Maybe see each other in the Final Four in Minneapolis someday. That would be a nice day for the state of Michigan basketball scene. But a Spartan Leopard's question on the Pistons subreddit for the Locked On Pistons mailbag is, with the Pistons looking to be a late lottery team, what do you think they should target with that pick? Or who do you think they should target with that pick? Now, I'll answer what and who. I've talked about this a little bit, zeroing in on point guard for me for the draft, because it kind of fits into the situation with the team. In all likelihood, you got Reggie Jackson back for next year and Ish Smith not coming back for next year. So that means you want not only a young guy that can come in and be good enough to be the backup next year, maybe at the first part of the season, with the hopes that maybe he improves and is ready to take over the starting point guard, maybe over for the second half, but certainly for the guy to be going forward with at the starting point guard for after next season. So it's kind of a nice situation to give like a one-year internship for a way under Reggie Jackson as the player kind of develops. And it feels like that's kind of a nice spot for a guy in the late lottery, or maybe just a little bit lower, which is where we hope the Pistons will be at the top of the non-lottery teams. So it's realistic to get that kind of player that you can kind of develop for a year and maybe take over as a starter in that group. Now, obviously, we've got plenty of time to talk about the draft, and certainly if there's a good wing out there, especially a bigger wing to replace Glenn Robinson III, you should certainly think about that. We know the Pistons are so thin at that position. But and really, when you're talking about the mid-first round, you're basically taking the best player available. So there's no position breakdown. But since we're, you know, just touching on the draft a little bit here and starting to look at our preparations as March approaches, in a perfect world, I think you take that point guard. The bad news is this seems to be a bit of a weak point guard draft. You got Ja Morant of Murray State. He'll be gone certainly by the time the Pistons are talking about maybe in the mid-teens or something like that. But the guy that I want to talk about today is Darius Garland of Vanderbilt, a guy who made a little bit of news over the weekend or the last few days, signing with Clutch Sports, LeBron James' agency outfit, already declared for the draft because he's injured. He's missing the rest of the season for Vanderbilt. And after he hurt his knee after 5 games this season, he said, screw it, I'm leaving, I'm going to the draft. So he's been, after he rehabs, he's going to get ready for the draft. He's got a meniscus injury in the knee. Point guard out of Vanderbilt. Right now, the projections kind of have him out of the Pistons' grasp, looking at like the 6 to 10 range. But being that he's out for the year, he's not going to get that March jump, obviously, with the NCAA tournament. And someone else will. Those guys will move ahead of him, and teams will start forgetting about him or talking themselves out of him with the injury risk. He might not be able to do full workouts. Who knows what his availability is for combine type of stuff. And Rich Paul, you know, the Clutch agency, might throw up some red flags for teams given the Anthony Davis situation and some of the other things that are happening, of course, around LeBron James, which is a guy who's certainly worth the risk. But when you're talking about the NBA draft and you don't have to take certain risks on certain guys, maybe that could be something that drops Darius Garland in the draft. So if you don't have a lot of tape, you only got 5 games of college games to go by, you might be able to talk yourself out of him. And he is kind of a risk even for the Pistons too, but you got a scoring point guard. He's 6'3". And I think you might be able to get some mid-lottery value out of a guy outside of the lottery there. Some other point guards to watch in the draft process would be like Trey Jones out of Duke, who every announcer when you watch a Duke game talks about, oh, this guy is the key. This is the glue of that freshman class. He's not the talent that Cam Reddish and Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett are, but he's, you know, the guy who serves the drink for Duke. And he's back, and he's playing for Duke right now. Coby White for UNC North Carolina, another guy to watch out for in a quality program that's going to be winning some games this March. So while you're watching March Madness, those are guys in Jones and White that are projected to be somewhere around that number 20 spot. The Pistons right now picking at 16, so it's certainly within the realm of reason that those guys could be available and willing guys for the Pistons to be able to pick up if they're willing at number 16 here in the NBA draft. So Darius Garland, Trey Jones, and Coby White are the 3-point guard names that we're going to take a look at this March. And with Garland, we're going to read whatever we can and see what we can see from him with the workouts and the combine. But when you're getting your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Pistons. It'll get the newest episode up there for you. And we appreciate you guys listening to us on your daily commute. Make it part of your routine to spend some time with us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But Indiana tonight, I'll be in the house looking forward to seeing how the Pistons do at home. The new look, 6 out of 7 Pistons with a winnable game against another banged up team coming over here to Detroit. And we'll break that one down tomorrow on the podcast. And thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for spreading the word. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying have a good one, everyone. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.